Everyone, this podcast is brought to you by Global Shop Solutions ERP software. Simplify your manufacturing by scheduling a demo at globalshopsolutions.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Upside Swings NBA Draft Podcast, the podcast with the highest ceiling. I'm your host, Bryce Hendricks, joined as always by the great Cooper Klein and the wonderful Stone Hansen. And we've been gone for a little bit. Honestly, just not a ton going on aside from being busy with a lot of non-basketball stuff for all three of us, honestly. So it's nice to be back, and we're hoping to kind of get into the rhythm where, you know, right now, as we record this, we're less than 2 weeks away from the first college basketball games. You know, we'll be talking about that. And I guess what this podcast sort of is it's sort of our setup for the 2023 cycle. We've discussed a lot internally between the three of us about using a, you know, doing two pods a week this season, or trying to, where one pod is either an in-depth scouting pod, or we have a guest on or something like that. And then our other pods, we're going to be just kind of keeping tallies on prospects or answering questions. And we've decided that the best way to do this is we're each going to take four teams, or in one specific case, it's more like seven teams. But we'll get to that when we get there. And we're just going to watch every single one of their games. And every week we can talk about the games from the week before and how each prospect is performing, what we're looking to see from them. So in this pod, we're going to talk about whose teams are whose, who those prospects are, give a little preview of those prospects and what we're expecting from them this season, what we want to see out of them. So I guess that's the best intro I have. Coop, Stone, my friends, how you guys doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm happy to be back talking basketball. It's a good relief that I need right now, good distraction. So I love talking basketball, so I'm excited to do it. And I'm happy with the teams that we got in our little draft for this segment for this year. So, yeah.
Stone just said that to rub that into Bryce and I's face, because he took FSU. I won't spoil any more of the picks, but that made Bryce and I pretty angry. I'm doing pretty good. Just turned 21, so I've been enjoying that over the past few days. Yeah, and I had a great time digging into more depth into some of these teams. And, you know, I'm just really excited to be back, miss talking, you know, my best friends. So let's get right back into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the structure for this is going to be fairly loose. We'll each kind of say one of our teams that we picked. We've already done this. We did it as a draft. I thought it'd be better to do it as a draft before, so we could talk more in depth about the prospects. So, yeah. So Coop technically had the first pick, and he selected a team that surprised no one. So Coop, go ahead. Give us your first team. Give us the prospects you're watching and what you're hoping to see from each of them.
Yeah, so I got Arkansas, the best team in the SEC, and had my favorite recruiting class in all of basketball. I mean, like five stars. I mean, it's an incredible amount. And they got basically a perfect fitting core here. They got Anthony Black, 6'7" point guard, can make every single pass in the books, can get into the lane, needs to improve that defense a little bit, but just the perfect floor general to really come in and, you know, take over a team that runs a really modern NBA offense under Eric Musselman. And then arguably my favorite prospect on the team, I don't know who's the best, but Jordan Walsh, 6'7", really like long arms, just super, super physically gifted, like really overbearing defensively. He uses his body, he uses his length, and he's like really sneakily crafty on the offensive end. He can make some pick and roll passes. He makes some connective passes. He can hit shots from all over the floor. The handle's a little bit loose, and I think that's kind of the differentiator there between his higher and lower end outcomes. But I mean, the flashes are just so incredible as both a creator and a secondary, you know, attacker. And then Nick Smith Jr., kind of the biggest name on this team. I want to say he's like 6'3". I think he's listed closer to like 6'4", 6'5", but he's not super tall, but just an incredible bucket getter, combo guard type, can really just light it up from all over the floor. He's another like solid passer for being a combo guard, but I wouldn't say that he's like a playmaker. And the defense is solid for his position. We'll see how he ends up going, but I think just the fit between those three is going to be really, really dynamic. Lots of passing, playmaking, and shooting. Just a really fun trio. And then, you know, they got Trevon Brazil. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, in the transfer portal. Just super athletic, super long. I think they're going to run him as more of a big, kind of the perfect play finishing big, do all the little stuff for them, clean stuff up, flash some of those skills, and really, you know, actually get the most out of it. Where I think he was playing, where did he transfer from? I cannot remember. This is
Missouri. He was Missouri. A Missouri Tiger. Yeah, where he was, his role was really interesting because they didn't really have guards. So he did kind of get to, at times, flash some handle, flash a jumper, but it never really all came together. Coming to a place where he's playing with, I would say, three above average passers, he's going to get a lot of good looks, and the defense is really so. I mean, he's probably only like 6'7", 6'8", but he's like a 5 defensively because he's super bouncy and he can really block shots, and I think there's potential scheme versatility there. So yeah, I'm really, really high on Brazil.
Yeah, he's going to be nice. I just really like the potential gel there. And then another transfer from Wichita, they got Ricky Council IV, kind of a 6'6", do it all wing forwardy type that Eric Musselman loves. You know, gets in there, does all the dirty stuff that you need, and then can cut, can play in their modern offense. And then Bryce wanted to mention Joseph Pinion, who I know is an Arkansas boy, and that's about it. So I'll let him give a little breakdown here on him real quick.
Pinion is probably not a guy this year, but he's just a really nice shooter who I like, who I think is a pretty solid athlete. I mean, we've seen the value of getting guys like that in the past. And I think probably, by his junior year, I could see him kind of starting and being one of the top shooters in the country. But just a quick mention of him. But yeah, I mean, Arkansas is one of the best. Like, there's a reason Coop picked them first. And it's not just because he loves Eric Musselman. It's because they are a really stacked team. I mean, they have three McDonald's All-Americans, three guys who I would probably have in my top 10 if the draft were tomorrow, and another guy who I'd probably have in my top 20 if the draft were tomorrow. So excellent place to start. Just a little thing that came to my head. You mentioned like Jordan Walsh at 6'7". I don't know why, but I feel like we're going to see people start listing him as 6'9", Jordan Walsh. This always happens with like 6'7" guys.
He's a forward.
Yeah. So who's like a 6'7" guys who are like power forwards and not wings. They get bumped up to 6'9" for some reason. So I think we're going to see it. Stone, do you have any thoughts on Arkansas before we move on to your first team?
I mean, just the first three. I mean, it's probably my favorite threesome, like within any sort of basketball this year. Anthony Black, they're all just so fun to watch. Like, it's just fun basketball, which is like at the essence what we love as just fans of the game. So watching those three together is just going to be awesome. And yeah, I mean, that's really, I don't want to get too into like their basketball talents because that was pretty much what Cooper just did. But just in terms of being a fan, hugely excited for this team.
Yeah. All right, Stone, do you want to give us your first team who is not a college team?
Yeah, I went with Ignite, who I was really excited about. Obviously, they have Scoot, which, you know, I think most people are going to have somewhere 1, 2, or maybe even 3 at this point, but most of people have top 2. He's one of the best point guards we've seen in a long time. Super dialed in as a shot maker off the dribble, can really just get to his spots at will pretty much, and it feels like everything he puts up is gonna go in, like no matter how contested. We saw it a lot during the sort of exhibition games versus the Metropolitans of 92 team, where he in the first game was just so dialed in and really getting to wherever he wanted. Also just a really great passer. I think that there's room this season for this to really be like a free flowing type of offense. And I'm sort of excited to see what Scoot can do more in the open court as well, because I think in the half court, he's kind of already shown what he's capable of. And I'd like to see that, but I also like this has potential to be a really fun roster as well, like just in transition and seeing Scoot sort of start a lot of these fast breaks. It could just be a lot of fun there. They also have Leonard Miller, who I think all of us were pretty high on last cycle before he withdrew, even though I think we sort of all saw it coming to a point. Obviously, the room for improvement there with him is just the shooting. It didn't look much improved during those exhibition games. So hopefully, you know, throughout the season, that's something that he's able to work on and it becomes more of a natural thing for him. I feel like he's pretty fine taking his shots within the flow of an offense, but it just doesn't look comfortable for him. Like he lets it fly, but the form and everything about it's wonky. We've been over this sort of last year and nothing's really changed from that at a significant level. So there's not much to harp on there with that. But as far as the rest of his game, you know, he's just super fluid, can handle defending, I think, is going to be pretty interesting for him in terms of how they use him, because I feel like there's obviously Abugidi there, and if Miller can take sort of steps to be that primary rim protector during times that FA is out, I think that would be pretty interesting. Yet being able to play him on the perimeter if they play together, to showcase more of his versatility, sort of looking towards that. They also have Mojave King on the roster, who I've, you know, been really high on for a long time, probably to my demise because he hasn't lived up to my expectations when he was a lot younger. But he actually looked bigger to me. I don't know if that was just me during those exhibition games, but he looked like he might have grown a little bit. Very beefy guard, who's probably best utilized more as like a wing at this point because the shot is pretty unreliable. I think that he has opportunity to prove himself more as a connecting piece rather than the guard that he has been previously in his career. I think if he can sort of show that he can hang within an offense and not be a liability on that end, really, that's what I'm looking for this season, because I think defensively he has some real chops on that in on the perimeter. I think he's very good footwork wise and can stay in front of his man pretty well, but offensively he's at this point a liability. So if he can at least become sort of a neutral on that end, I think that would be considered a success. Obviously they have FA. I still haven't watched a lot of FA, to be honest with everyone. I don't really want to speak too much on him yet. Obviously I will throughout the season. This is Bryce's wheelhouse, but from what I do know of FA, he sort of profiles as that rim runner type, with more nuance to his game than a traditional just shot blocker and lob threat. So again, I'm really interested in sort of that dynamic with him and Leonard Miller. That's really what I'm hoping to see, sort of how they work together. Sissoko. Sidy Sissoko, I'm pretty high on comparatively, especially to my co-hosts who seem to absolutely hate him. But I think there's the shooting is sketchy for sure. Again, that's another thing where I'm really looking for improvement on throughout the season. I do think that he has really special like stride length and power. The combination between those two things, it's not like a Thompson twin level, but it's very for a bigger guard slash undersized wing, interesting at the very least. because he does get to the rim very strongly. So if he can create more fouls for himself near the rim, I think that'll be huge for him in his game. And hopefully as the shot progresses, those free throws he'll be able to take advantage of. And then they recently signed London Johnson. I'll be interested to see how he fits into the rotation. Haven't really watched any of him, to be honest with everyone, but obviously I'll be keeping tabs throughout the season to see how he progresses.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing much else to say about the Ignite other than that they're a pro team now, and these are all pros that we're going to get to watch. Lots of talent here. We'll find out in a bit, you know, who has the other team we've actually seen play so far this year. But yeah, Scoot is definitely the sell here, but there's a lot of guys up and down this roster who I think a lot of them, I would say Mojave, FA, and City are sort of make or break with the GLI. Like, we're going to see if they're players or not, because Mojave and FA have been around. They're a little older. We've kind of seen them in different contexts. City is just, I mean, I'm just kind of lower on him, I'll be honest. But if he really shows out, there's something there. Miller is, even if he's really bad, he's still going to get drafted high because 6'11 guys don't move like him. But yeah, so there's a lot of intrigue there. My first team is Duke. I have my issues with Duke, but I'm very interested to see John Shire's first year as full-time head coach. They're bringing in Derek Whitehead, who is probably the top college player in the country, or college prospect, I should say, in the country, though he is going to miss the first little bit. Kyle Filipowski, who I like a lot, also really funky mover at 6'11, can really pass, I think can really shoot. There's questions there, but I think he's my second favorite prospect on this team, and that's saying something because Derek Lively II is someone who a lot of people have as like a top 10 pick. Now I'm a lot lower on Lively. I'm interested to see what his like play even looks like at Duke, but he's here and he's definitely going to be get NBA looks. We'll see how he develops and what the defense kind of looks like around him. Tyrese Proctor from Australia is here. Really good shooter. We're going to see if he can do more. He's going to be asked to handle the ball, I think, and do some off the dribble scoring and creation for others. And then maybe some longer term guys. Jaden Schutt is a really good shooter and pretty solid athlete at the wing. And then Mark Mitchell, really bouncy, powerful forward, but kind of some questions about skill development there. So really young Duke team. There's going to be some growing pains with Shire, but I'm fascinated to see what they look like. Coop, any thoughts on Duke before you move on to your next team?
It just sounds like you're saying that Jaden Schutt is going to be a good shutter. That was a good one. Yeah. Oh, we just got back and you're already going to kick me off. Shit. We've been recording for like 25 minutes.
No, it shoots.
Sorry. No, I really like Derek. Derek, he's such a powerful finisher. He's so strong. The handle concerns are real, but everything else is just, it's so insane. The shooting, I think, is real. The defense, the driving, like good touch, good power finisher, just such a complete prospect on the wings. So I'm going to hop into my next team now. I ended up with Florida, you know, the second best team in Florida. I tried to do some mind tricks with Stone, and he played me, but I'm still happy. Florida has Alex Fudge, the defensive wizard at 6'9", super skinny, can, you know, one of the best off-ball defenders, defensive playmakers we've seen in a while. The questions are all just on the offensive end. If he can figure out something, then he's going to be a first-round prospect pretty easily. He was a lotto prospect for me last year, even without the offensive tools. We have Will Richard, just a great connector, great defender. Tons of effort, you know, great driver, great shooter, just super well-rounded, the kind of guy who really contributes to, you know, I don't want to sound like a talking radio head, but he contributes to winning basketball. And I think he's going to get a great chance here on a really complete Florida team to really show out and show off his game. He's going to be the second player I'm second most interested in tracking. And then Kawachi Reeves, Kawasi. I remember, holy shit, I'm forgetting his name. This is humiliating.
Malik.
He told us that it was Kawasi. Kawasi Reeves, 6'6" shooter, pretty athletic. Got some nice finishes at the rim to end the year. Kind of ended the year really, really strong after having a shaky start to the year. Really interesting wing prospect. And then Colin Castleton, you know, going to be one of the best rim protectors in the country, would be a great prospect if he wasn't, you know, a DILF, if he wasn't 24. So, you know, going to be a really fun team to watch, going to be really well coached. Just really, and they have a lot of other random depth pieces that I'm excited to see as well.
Yeah, it's probably important to note that Florida was not the next pick. It was actually my next team that was the next pick, and then Stone, because we did it snake, so it kind of like flipped around. So he did not take Florida over some of the teams you're going to hear who are better than Florida. Stone, I'll throw this to you. Let's hear about your next team, which to some is the most exciting and maybe should have gone first just for one guy.
Yeah, and that one guy is Victor Wembanyama. He plays for the Metropolitans 92, who had the exhibition games, obviously, with Ignite. He showed out in a massive way in both of those games, I think. Just an absolutely, like, I can't remember. I mean, this is my seventh or eighth draft now, a prospect ever like this, like ever. A lot of people talk about that unicorn type big, right? They can shoot and block shots. And as valuable as that is, generally, the majority of that time, it just does not come to fruition, and the shooting is just not, I think, what a lot of people see the value of it being completely and the upside being achieved. With Wembanyama, I think he really has the chance to be like this prolific shooter and shot blocker simultaneously. And if he can be one of the best, if not, I mean, like, there's potential for him to be actually the best big shooter in the league and the biggest rim protector in the league, or best rim protector in the league. So if you're able to do both those things simultaneously, and he's still like a plus passer, and he's long enough to not be a liability on the perimeter because he makes up so much ground, he really is close to, like, we always say there's no perfect prospect, but Wembanyama is about as close as you can get, I think, without actually being there. So much fun to watch. I'll get into more of the nuances, you know, of his game as the season goes on. I've watched quite a bit, but this is more of like a preview episode. But he is just a ridiculous prospect. Sort of a less ridiculous prospect is his teammate, Ormel Traore. That was a bad transition, but he is still interesting. I think that I hadn't really, to be honest, watched him before those exhibition games, so I'm basing my, you know, sort of slight opinion on him off of those two games, but he seemed to really have like a strong frame, and really wasn't scared to drive towards the rim, took bumps very well, and was pretty confident with his drives. Again, I don't know his game that well, so I don't have really notes on what I'm looking for to him improve over the season. But he's definitely somebody I'll be keeping an eye on, because I believe he's still only 19. So the age factor there alone warrants some interest. But yeah, this will be so much fun just because of Victor.
Well, that's not even who you're most excited to watch on this.
Okay. I will say, like, they actually have a lot of pretty interesting guys that aren't NBA guys currently, like, besides Bisson, everyone knows, but obviously they have like Tremont Waters, Aaron Henry, some names that people will probably know from previous drafts. They have a lot of guys that are like not quite NBA guys, but they're still really good players. So it's not just Wembanyama and a bunch of bums. Like, there's a lot of guys that are talented basketball players. So it's not going to be a complete thing of him carrying this team, and it'll be a fun team just in general to watch if you're a fan of basketball. So
yeah, I mean, they're going to be really competitive. They've played quite a bit they've played quite a bit already. I'm trying to see really fast what their schedule. Yeah, they're third in the league. I mean, they're 5-4, so it's early. But you know, they have the second best point differential in their league. So I think, I mean, they're like a good team. Monaco and Le Mans right now are considered better than them. Monaco is always good. But yeah,
they also have Strasl too, which he's an NBA guy. We'll get to him later in the season.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, that's something too with this, like as we're reporting every week, we'll also say, you know, like Duke played this team and this prospect from the other team played well. So we'll have that stuff throughout. All right. My next team is OTE. This was the second pick. This is who I wanted even over the Met 92 because I think there's a lot of talent here and a lot of guys I really want to watch, not only for this year, but because they play high school talent for future seasons. So, of course, the big sells are the Thompson twins, Amen and Asur. I think Amen is the second best player in this draft from what I've seen so far. Him and Scoot are close, but I like Amen a lot. He's exactly up my alley. I think he's a star in the making. Asur's great too. I think they're both top 10 caliber picks, but they might not even be the best prospects on these teams because Alexander Saar is maybe a top five pick in 2 years now. It's Alexandre, isn't it? It doesn't matter. I had this all in my head and I'm losing it, but
Alex.
Yeah, Alex Saar, he's a stud. He's a star. You know, they got some like lesser known guys, maybe like Jazz Portman, Bryce Griggs, some future prospects, Eli Ellis this year, Cunningham, Trey Parker, and so many more. These OT teams are just chock full of guys who might make it down the line. They're going to be playing teams full of guys. I mean, they just played teams with Bronny, the Boozer twins. I mean, they're constantly playing top tier high school talent, which is my favorite aspect of scouting is these high school guys. So yeah, they're a team who I was really excited to get my hands on that I'm excited to be talking about every week going forward. Coop, I know you're a fellow OTE guy. Anything you want to say on OTE before you move on to your next team?
Yeah, just a lot of guys who, I mean, I don't think all of them are going to be like breakout guys and like, oh, this is going to be a league of stars, but just so much raw, interesting talent that every single night you're getting something new. You know, you're seeing elite high school players come in, you're watching, you know, these guys really develop against, you know, it's iron sharpens iron type stuff. Just a great league, despite what Stone says. And I'm pretty jealous that you stole it from me, but it's okay. My third pick, I'll just hop right in here, was Kentucky. They got the number one recruit in Texas in Kasan Wallace, 6'2", 6'3", guard, you know, really tough on the defensive end, can really score the ball, can really drive it, super interesting. And then they also got Chris Livingston from Montverde, 6'6", really big wingy type. I think the shooting is pretty solid and the rest of his game is a little bit more up in the air, but I think he's got really solid instincts. He's not the most aggressive, but he's got a really solid connector skill set that I think could be really, really interesting in the college game and could really translate to the NBA game. They have Jacob Toppin, the younger brother of current Knicks superstar Obi Toppin, who I think he's fun. He can jump really high. He can block shots. He can shoot a little bit. I think he's a funky bet at the four spot. I don't think he's as talented as his brother, but I think he, you know, he does more of the small stuff, a lot more solid defensively. And then Damian Collins, I want to say is like 6'10" with just incredible arms, incredible length, can really block shots. And it's just an incredible mover on both ends of the ball. He came in right after Ijax, so you get a lot of the comps there. I don't think they're super duper similar. Ijax was a lot smaller, but I think Collins is just another great mover, another great mobile big that'll play in the Kentucky system. Hopefully he'll play more than he did last year. And then I don't want to talk about too many other guys because I actually don't like the rest of the Kentucky roster too much, but I would be a fool if I didn't talk about Oscar Tshiebwe. Real player of the year contender this year, can really dominate on the inside, can really dominate defensively, racks up a ton of blocks and steals. I just one of the best post players in the nation. He's incredible.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't like this team very much at all. I think you're going to have a really not fun time watching them. But good luck to you. I love Kasson Wallace. I wish he wasn't going to Kentucky this year. But yeah, there's some fun to be had here. There's just a lot of questions. And it just feels like the past 3 years of Kentucky basketball have just been miserable. So we'll see how that goes this year. Stone, any thoughts on Kentucky before you move on to your next team?
Not many. You know, have fun watching those double-doubles from Shibuya all season. So I got FSU. I like their team a lot. really big fan of, for me, their big three. With Baba Miller, Matthew Cleveland, and Jalen Worley. Baba Miller is really a funky player. He's going to really have to progress as a shooter, I think, for him to be sort of the prospect that a lot of people have him as currently. I'm really in on him. I think the touch is amazing for him, but there's a lot to work with on as far as mechanically with the shot. He's super fluid, but not very quick at all. The fluidity, usually with fluidity, you tend to sort of, it goes hand in hand with some sort of, you know, speed a little bit at least, but Bob Miller does not really have the speed as of now. And those are just some things that, you know, I think as he progresses and gets older, he's still really young, I think will come along a bit more. He does see passes very well. Excited to see how that fits into this offense. I think he's slow to getting his passes where they need to be, but he does see them and is capable of making them with both hands. So that's a plus. And he's super long, so fits into the FSU MO. With Matthew Cleveland, I think all of us were high on him coming out of high school. Maybe didn't progress quite as quickly as we had hoped, but I think he's in for a big season this year. The big thing I harped on all year last year was the lack of strength, especially within his core, and the fact that he didn't pass out as much as I had liked. And I think those two things, especially as he ages, just the maturity of your body when you get older, I think that's going to help him a lot as a player this year. obviously has the capability of being a prolific shooter with how quick his release is. And he is like still a really awesome athlete to me vertically. So I think there's ways to get creative between him and Baba throughout this season. Jalen Worley was someone I really liked last year, even though he didn't put up the biggest numbers. I thought that Worley was someone that really had a shot this year of maybe being a guy. He's not the best offensively quite yet, or at least he wasn't last year. I think he was more of a better, he would have been better off to utilize more of a connector rather than this sort of guard role that he was thrust into as like an initiator. I think he's really good defensively. I love the communication he always provides. Pretty good on ball defender, really good passer on the bounce too. Like the depth perception that he has is pretty awesome. I don't want to get too into these guys because obviously there's a lot and I don't want to take this podcast 2.5 hours, but those three are really who I'm looking at with Florida State. They also have the Cameron Fletcher and Cameron Corin,
I believe is how it's said.
Okay.
Who, to be fair, Stone did not bring up Corin. That's all me. So
yeah, I haven't watched these two guys too much, to be honest. Again, everyone I haven't really watched, I'll be watching throughout the season and keep you guys more updated on my thoughts.
Yeah, Fletcher is like a really good defensive playmaker who just needs to find something to do offensively. And then Corin is just like really funky. He's probably a couple years away, but maybe not. Like I think he could be a two and done. He's like big and strong and has some handle moments and touch. And I don't know. There's a lot that I liked about his high school stuff. Maybe it never hits. He didn't necessarily strike me as like a Florida State guy, but they always tend to, you know, make some magic happen down there. So anyways, moving on to my next team. I took Alabama, who we talked about, so I won't be long on these guys. Brandon Miller, Jaden Bradley, Charles Bediako, those are the guys I'm mostly looking at. Specifically Miller, it seems like Alabama, at the very least, is making a major push for him to be seen as, like, this top freshman. They've talked about, they've called him, like, the MVP of their preseason stuff and all this type. And you know, I didn't see that in his high school tape, so maybe it's a great development. I don't know, but I'm interested to watch closely. I love Jaden Bradley, too. He's one of my favorite guard prospects in the country right now. He might be there like 2 years, but I mean, I'd draft him tomorrow. Like, he's just my type of guard. Bediako is interesting rim runner. Go listen to our episode with Hunter Cruz. We talked a lot about Bama in depth there and some of the maybe fringier guys who will also come up while I'm talking about them. So, Coop, you ready to go with your final team?
Yeah, give me 1 second. I was heartbroken. I had my hopes dashed here. But it's okay because I still ended up with a great team in Texas. You know, they are top 15 ranked, I think, by the AP poll going into the year, coached by Chris Beard, who is kind of an overrated coach, but I think that he's got a great group of guys for his system. He has Dylan Mitchell, a five-star freshman, who is really like a six, I want to say he's like 6'7", 6'8". Rim runner more than anything at the moment. He can do like the dribbling and the touch are really the make or break skills for him going into the year that I'm really excited to watch, because if his touch isn't great and he can't really like dribble or like attack closeouts, he also, I'm not sure about the shooting, but there's a lot of question marks there, but he's so athletic that you want to take the bet on him. And you know, the highlights just incredible, great cutter. And then the real star of the show, Tyrese Hunter, guy we all loved last year, transferred from Iowa State, you know, 6'1", maybe even just 6 foot, point guard, can really, really pass the ball, get into the lane, put pressure on the rim, has great touch around the rim. And then somebody who I said that I needed to talk about, Dylan Disu, you know, didn't really get a huge role last year, but I think really athletic, really gifted big man who I think can just move around the court, make plays, get to the rim, and just finish everything, basically. And then shout out to Brock Cunningham, who is a pretty cool basketball player and an even cooler guy from everything that I've heard. So, Stone, if you want to take your last group here.
Yeah, this should be pretty quick. I really just took this team for one player who I really love, Khalil Ware. Outside of Wembanyama, I think he might be the best big in this class. Absolutely love the shooting. Again, another one of those guys who I think actualizes the shooting, who's super fluid. The rim protection is awesome. Reads the game defensively almost similar to a Chet level. Not saying he is Chet defensively or has those capabilities, but just in terms of the sort of read they make, I think they see it in a similar way on that sort of back line. Doesn't have a lot of help with his team in terms of NBA prospects. They should be a decent college team. They have guys that had some buzz or at one point or another within their careers, but just aren't really prospects. So he's probably the only guy I'll be looking at this year at Oregon. But I think there's, you know, potentially top five buzz once the season ends that there could be with him. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm really excited just to watch him, even if watching the rest of Oregon sucks.
Yeah. This is a team that I would say is full of a ton of G League stars. Like Quincy Guerrier is going to get G League looks. And Will Richardson is probably going to be like a G League, like all-star type guy if things really click for him. You know, even in Folly Dante probably isn't even a G League guy, but is going to get some looks. But Khalil Ware is really the only NBA guy, truly. Will Richardson might sneak onto a roster on a two-way if things really, really click this year. He had a down year last year from expectations, but anyways, my last team, I think I might have the best fourth team out of all of us. I'm just going to say I picked Creighton. Now, Creighton is one of those teams that's, I mean, similar to Oregon, probably a better college team than they are like an NBA talent production team or anything. But I think this team does have a lot of NBA caliber guys. Arthur Klum is definitely the big sell, expecting the FIBA bump from him. If I were to guess, he's going to be a lottery pick. I don't know if he's going to be lottery for me, but I think he's going to end up a lottery pick. There's always one or two sophomores that get that. I think my favorite bets are Matthew Cleveland and Arthur Kluma. Arthur Kluma is an offensive stud at the wing who can really move. Some real upside there. They also have Baylor Shireman, who's maybe the best shooter in the country, maybe one of the best shooters on the planet. Absolutely cooked WSU in a game last year when he was playing for South Dakota State. Just a real like star college player, one of the most efficient college careers of all time. And it's taking this step up to Creighton. I think he's kind of the piece that makes them a championship contender. Ryan Kalkbrenner he's similar to Colin Castleton, probably not quite as good, but younger at the very least. So there's some interest there. Ryan Nemhard might have been like, he might have got some legit one and done looks if he had played the second half of the year, but he got injured pretty early on and had to miss a lot of time. Really kind of steady point guard type, pretty similar to his brother Andrew, but smaller. And then Trey Alexander, really kind of shifty, crafty scorer who I like. So yeah, lots to like with that team and lots to like going forwards. This is kind of like an overall preview of what to expect from maybe top prospects, what to expect from us going forward for this draft cycle. No idea what I'm going to call this podcast. Probably just like 2023 draft cycle begins or preview or something. I don't know.
We'll workshop it.
Yeah, figure it out.
If you have ideas, hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah, tell us before we post the pod what we should name this.
No. I'm saying once you listen for this season, what we could call a segment.
Oh, I see. Oh yeah, that's actually interesting. What we should call this segment. We'll figure that out later. But before we get out of here, Coop Stone, my friends, let people know where they can find you.
Yeah, you could find me at report_court. Haven't been posting too much lately, but hopefully I'll pretty soon I'll be able to start watching more basketball. But that's where, you know, all my stuff will be for this upcoming cycle.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Ali_oop_coop. And I've been posting mostly Rocket stuff there, but as the college season gets started, there'll be more college stuff there. You can find, if you're interested in any of my Rockets work, you can find that over at HTX Chop Shop. I posted a few YouTube videos there and some, you know, some podcasts and stuff with them over the summer. So if you want to go support that, go check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me at Bryce114. Make sure you give us a like, rating, review, all that fun stuff. This has been the Upside Swings to be a Draft podcast. We hope we hit our ceiling. Thank you.
We once again like to thank our sponsors at GlobalShopSolution.com. Simplify your manufacturing and schedule a demo today at GlobalShopSolutions.com. Thank you.